I'll just go ahead and start the service now. I appreciated Lou DeCou's sermonette, because it kind of ties in with what I'd like to speak about today. You know, we definitely are in end time. I mean, it's very obvious. You'd have to be blind or not know anything about Scripture to realize, you know, that we have to be very close to the end time. And I'd like to go through what's going to come to pass in these end times concerning the church, how it's going to affect you and I. And I'd like to go through some of the encouraging prophecies. I think they're very encouraging to us, to God's people, to have faith and are obeying and following God's ways. So, you know, to help us prepare ourselves for what's to come. You know, the events like the 9/11 occurred, that was kind of a wake-up call. There's been a lot of sleeper people out there in different countries that, you know, they can, it's like a time bomb, you know, when it comes to a certain time, they decide to act. You never know what's going to happen. So, you know, these terrorisms, they continue all over the world, different countries. Many events are prophesied to come. Prophecy does seem to be speeding up. It seems to me like they are. What we've seen happening over there in the Middle East and these places, I mean, it's horrendous. You know, if you're a Christian, you've got a bullseye right on your back or on your wherever they want to shoot you or whatever they want to do to you. And I think we're probably going to see that becoming worse and worse. And I know that Iran, that we used to have the Ayatollah that was in charge there, you know, and he was very much hostile toward the United States, but seems as if our president is trying to want to make peace with them, which if you watch Fox News, they pretty well tell you what they think about it, you know. But it's not what they think, it's what God thinks, and that's what's important, you know. And it does make you nervous when you think about these things that are happening. I mean, we shouldn't be like an ostrich with our head in the sand. We need to be aware and awake, paying attention to what's going on. So I'd like to focus on some prophecies today that what'll be God's people doing, what God's people be doing at the close of this age and the fulfillment of these end time events. But I'd like to focus on positive prophecies concerning Christians. You know, there's a lot of prophecies that are positive, uplifting. I mean, all the news isn't bad, you know, thankfully. So God Almighty, as we know, He's going to bring about these prophecies. They're going to come to fruition, and we're going to be punished. Our nation is going to be punished. We've kicked God out of the schools, out of the government, out of as many people's lives as they can. They renounce God. They don't want God in their lives at all. So if we turn our back on God, how could we expect God to bless us? You know, eventually there's going to come a time that we're going to pay. So if you would, let's start our going through the scriptures. Let's turn to Daniel. Daniel 12, and I like to pick up the scripture there. We'll be spend a little bit of time there. Daniel 12, and we'll begin reading in verse 4. Daniel 12, verse 4. And he says, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." We've certainly seen running to and fro. I know if you ever noticed when they show a picture of all the aircraft that's in the air over the United States at any one time, it's just amazing. We're running to and fro all the time. I mean, that's just what you see in the air. Of course, the land is like little ants going back and forth constantly. Highways are busy. And it says knowledge shall increase. But it definitely has. You can get on the internet and find out just about anything you want or things you don't want to know. You know, you have to kind of take it with a grain of salt because you can't believe everything, but you can sort through and it gives you that information is available. You know, so knowledge definitely has increased tremendously. Now let's drop down to verse 9, and he says, he said, an angel, here speaking to Daniel, he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed and up and sealed to the time of the end. And verse 10, many shall be purified. In other words, we're going to be tried. We're going to be made white. That's other scriptures talk about that. We're seeing that happening right now, brethren. You know, in the church of God, this purifying of the ministry, I think that over the last few years, we've seen that. You know, it goes on all through history, but especially since 1995. I think we can see that very obviously, that that's taking place. And as you know, this purifying of the sons of Levi, as it talks about in Malachi, he says through fiery trials. So God's going to test you, going to test me, all of us, you know. And he says, and many shall be made white, in verse 10. Going to be made white and refined. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. Now I'd like to focus on the last part of that there, that verse 10. At the time of the end and the fulfillment of these prophecies, Daniel says, the wise shall understand. The wise shall understand. And he's talking about these end time events that Christ here is, you know, as speaks of here in verse 11. There'll be a daily sacrifice that will be eventually reinstituted in Jerusalem. Scripture tells us that. You know, there'll be a daily sacrifice reinstituted in Jerusalem, and the abomination of desolation will be set up. How much time is left? Well, I don't know, brethren. I don't know. Only God knows that. The wise will understand. That's a very positive statement. He says, if you're wise, you'll understand that. So, who are the wise? That's something we need to know. We need to know who's wise and who isn't. You might hold your place there, but if you'd turn with me to Psalm 119. Let's turn back there to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and we'll read start reading in verse 97. We need to understand these events that are going to take place in Jerusalem and that signal of the very end. And who will be watching? You know, God tells us to watch. You know, we need to be watching. Who will be warning the people? Here, David is what David wrote here in Psalm 119, verse 97. He says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. For they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. For your testimonies are my meditation, and I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. He's obeying God's laws. So, rather than those who are wiser are going to be keeping God's commandments. And how many of you see in the world today, they're dropping out. They're not doing that. They're not keeping God's commandments. No longer keep the Sabbath or the holy days. You know, you could do a little word study on that right there, you know, and go through, and you'd come up to know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Those who obey God will be wise. They'll be the ones that are considered wise. It says, the wise shall understand, and God will give them understanding. If you're obeying God, those who keep God's commandments, who are faithful in doing that, to the very end, and many are not, as I say, are not doing that today. They'll say, well, those are done away with. Well, we don't have to do that anymore. Christ fulfilled it all. That's not what the Scripture tells us. So it's an important point I like to make on that prophecy of the end time is that wise shall understand. If you're wise, you're going to understand what's happening. We all need to ask ourselves, are we wise? Can we say like David? I think that most of us could. I think most of us could say that. Oh, how I love your law. It's a guide. It's a light, a lamp to our feet. That's the difference in the, you know, and reasoning that many of us are stick to the truth. We're still in God's church because we fear God and we love God's law. You know, I never thought I'd see the day, and I'm sure the ministers never either, that there'd be a time that they would be disfellowshipped for keeping God's Sabbath and His holy days. Could you have ever imagined that? I couldn't have. I never would have thought that that would have happened. But it did. And, you know, maybe some of you were told not to come back to church because you still wanted to keep God's laws and His holy days. But anyway, that did happen. So let's go to chapter 11 of Daniel. I should have had you hold your place there. Chapter 11 of Daniel. I should have held my place. Doesn't do much good to advise you if I don't do it, does it? It's important for me to do it. Okay, chapter 11 of Daniel. We'll begin reading in verse 31. The Scripture makes this very clear then. Those who are obeying God and continuing to keep His commandments, the true Sabbath and the holy days, His precepts and His ways will be wise, and the wise shall understand. If you pick it up there in verse 31, you read the context of this chapter. It's about the king of the north and the king of the south. That's what it's talking about there. It says in verse 31, and forces shall be mustered by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress. They're going to defile it. So I'm reading from the New King James, and Israel today, you know, especially Jerusalem, is a fortified city. I mean, there's hostilities going there all the time. And of course, I got that mosquito or whatever it was. Kept bugging me. He won't do it now, I guess. So there's a temple there where sacrifices are going to be reinstituted eventually. It tells us that. And it says that he'll take away the daily sacrifice. This invasion from the north by the king of the north, united with the religious power and the place where the abomination of desolation is. That's going to occur. We'll see that happen. And verse 31 says, reading on, he says, they shall take away the daily sacrifice and place the abomination of desolation. You know, Christ spoke about the abomination of desolation. And Matthew 25:15, if you want to just write that verse down, and also Mark 13:14. He spoke about the abomination of desolation. But let's read on here in Daniel, verse 32. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flatteries. With flatteries. He's going to corrupt them that way. You know, the king of the north, those who take over that area, and if you notice there in verse 32, says that, but the people... Notice that, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. In other words, they're going to be valiant. You know, they're going to do great things. If you read on here, I'll come back to that verse 32 in a moment, but verse 33, it says, and those of the people who understand shall instruct many. Yet for many days they shall fall by the sword and flame and by captivity and plundering. You know, not all God's people are going to be protected there. Some of God's people will fall. Verse 34, now when they fall, they shall be aided with a little help. But many shall join them by intrigue. or flattery, the margin says here, by flattery. There'll be a lot of people just playing games at the time. Their heart's not really true. You know, they're playing Christians. There will be insincere people. I think we've all experienced that, you know, in the church. Some people use flattery to get what they want, to get ahead, to be the top man or whatever. But that's going to take place in the end time. Now, verse 35 is, some of those of understanding shall fall. Why is that going to happen? Well, it says to refine them and purify them and make them white. God's going to know what your heart is. He's going to test you. And verse 35, God will work with these people, all of them, to the very end. He doesn't abandon. He stays right with his people. Verse 32, and the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. They're going to do great things. I think the Amplified version of the Bible says great exploits for God. So they're going to be doing mighty works, great works. That's what it means. That's what it's saying. What does it mean to know God? Do you know God? It's certainly important to understand this because, you know, people who know God are going to be strong. So you want to make sure you know God. There's no doubt in your mind about it. They're not going to be weak in the end time. They're going to become stronger and stronger. As more terrorists occur, as frightening things begin to happen in the world, the end time events that are prophesied begin to come to pass, you know, God's people are going to have to be strong if you're going to stand. Now, if you would, let's turn to 1 John chapter 2. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. There's a scripture I know that you know very well, no doubt. 1 John chapter 2. It makes this very clear here. 1 John 2, verses 3 and 4. He says, now by this we know him, if we keep his commandments. That's how you know if you know God. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You know, he's not genuine. He's playing Christian. He's just fooling himself. It's very clear there, isn't it? It makes that very clear. Comes right out and says that. Those who know their God are going to be those who are obeying God, are keeping his commandments. That means all his commandments and his laws. And they're walking with God and serving God, following God's way. And they are strong in faith and have confidence and believe what God tells us. You know, that's what it's talking about here. That's very encouraging to me, to see prophecies like that in the end time, as people are more frightened, and you know that's going to happen. Probably many people hear of stories of these atrocities and things that are occurring and around the world, and especially over there in the Middle East. You know, it's a very frightening thing. But just watching TV, you know, it can cause people to become fearful because you see all those things. I'm glad they don't show the actual beheadings. It's a wonder to me they don't. I guess maybe on the internet you might actually be able to see that. I don't know. I don't want to. Or seeing someone burned alive or, you know, whatever. That's just barbaric, very barbaric, but these things are happening. So let's now go to Revelation 11. Turn back into the prophecy scriptures back here. Revelation 11, and he's talking about the two witnesses here. I know that you've read these scriptures before, but Revelation 11 and verse 3, he says, I'll give power to my two witnesses, and they'll prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. You know, that depends on, you know, are they alive today? I'd ask this question. Are they alive today? Well, that depends maybe on how much more time we have. We don't know. You know, they could very well be alive today. And I suspect that they probably are somewhere. No reason to assume they wouldn't be because of the events you see happening and how quickly things can change and turn for the worse. Now, verse 3 there, it says, they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. That's 3.5 years. That's the same time of the tribulation. That's how long the tribulation is going to be going on. The verse just above that, in verse 2, talked about the time when the Gentiles will take over that city, and they're ruling it and controlling it. They're going to tread down the holy city underfoot for 42 months. That's 3.5 years, during the times of the prophecies of these two witnesses. At verses 4 and 5, it says, these are the two olive trees that, and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. If anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. Now, I don't know if that's going to be a literal thing to occur or if that's, it's going to be the words that they say are going to do that. But if you imagine this kind of power being given to two witnesses or two people to serve him, it shows what God is able to do, his power. And what he is planning to do and what he is going to do in the end time. Now drop on down to verse 5 and 6. If anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this way, in this manner. These two witnesses have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over water to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. Reminds you of Moses. The plagues that God worked through him that reminds you of the same thing. They have power to shut heaven that it doesn't rain, you know, during these 3.5 years. And they also can turn water into blood and strike the earth with all plagues as often as they wish. I'm sure that's going to go over real great with people. They're not going to like that at all. Some have come forward claiming to be one of the two witnesses before. There's been a few that's done that. But, you know, you can speculate, no matter how you speculate, though, that the point of the prophecy is going to come to pass. God is going to give power to these two people. And God allows them to be killed. And it tells us that they're going to be doing a great work. Mighty miracles are going to be happening. And then after that work is done, God's going to allow them to be killed. But if you notice what happens, and if you drop down to verse 11, after the 3.5 years, the breath of life, or days, the breath of life from God enters them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. You know, you might have wondered a few years back, how could that be? But now you could watch it on widescreen TV, Fox News and CNN. It can be beamed around the world almost within just a short second. You know how you hear a slight delay from the interviewer in this other part of the world, and that gets to you, and just it's almost instantaneous. So you know that's certainly amazing how that's going to be able to be done. Everybody's going to be able to see that. It says, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on all those who saw them. I'm sure it would be awesome enough to see it on television, but if you were there in person, I can just imagine it'd be jaw-dropping experience, I'd say. You know, that would just be something. So even at the very end, God Almighty is going to be using people to do his work. Still going to be working through people. People, you know, who these people are today is, like I say, they could be out there, you know, we don't know. But if you turn now over to the book of Acts chapter 2, in verse 17, we'll start reading there. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams. You know, I don't know how many of you dream. If I do dream, most of the time I don't have a clue what it was about or remember it. And Grace has asked me a few times, well, you dream in color? I said, I don't know. I never thought about it. I guess it's never been that real to me. But it says they're going to dream dreams. And he says, on my men servants and maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Prophesy of events that are going to happen, no doubt. God will use whomever he will. I'm sure one thing is it probably will be humble, longtime members of God's church, those that are faithful, that are following God. You know, it's going to be people that God can depend on. Those that have been obeying God and serving him faithfully. Now let's read on in verse 19 and 20. It says, I will show wonders in heaven above. That's Acts 2, verse 19 and 20. If I get on the right scripture here, verse 19 and 20. I'll show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. You know, that's going to be an awesome, as it says, awesome day of the Lord. So it's at the very end of this prophecy that God is going to pour out power on individuals in his church. And he's going to use them whatever way he needs to be able to accomplish his will. Many miracles. There were many, many miracles performed back during the apostles' days. And no doubt, if he's pouring out this power upon his people, you're going to see miracles performed again. I'm quite sure that's going to happen. That's encouraging, isn't it? I think that's very encouraging. Satan is going to be doing his work at this time. The terrorists, they're going to be doing their work. They're going to be very active. They're going to be busy doing their work. Satan's certainly going to be doing his, but God Almighty is going to be doing a work in his people. Excuse me. He's going to pour out incredible power. It seems that, you know, it says that upon your sons and your daughters, young men and women, young and old, men servants and maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days. That's an incredible time to come. It really encourages me to know that God's going to do that. He's going to give us the power to be able to do whatever we need to do. Now let's go back to Revelation 3 again. Revelation 3. Excuse me. God is ready right now to finish the work, get the job done through those that he's called. Revelation 3, starting verse 8, the scripture, you probably know this very well. It's talking about the Philadelphia church. And this was written about the historical church, but also prophetically. This is prophetic. It's obvious that it applies to the very end, as we'll see here. That people who are called Philadelphians, who have the love of God in them. But let's read the beginning in verse 8, Revelation 3, verse 8. He says, I know your works. See, it shows they have works. They're doing things, not just sitting back, but they actually have works. You see, I've set before you an open door. Now, that when it talks about that in Scripture, that always means, excuse me, that it's for preaching the gospel message, to be able to preach God's kingdom. Then verse 8, no one can shut it, for you have a little strength. That certainly applies to us, God's people in the church today. We're very small. We don't really have, we really don't have that much power. Even though we're very small, God is blessing God's church today. He is. Now, verse 8 and 9. He says, "You've kept my word and have not denied my name. Indeed, I'll make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie indeed. I will make them come and worship before your feet to know that I have loved you." Verse 10, "Because you've kept my commandment to persevere." The New International Version there says, "You've kept my commandment to patiently endure." You know, you've endured it patiently. These are God's people who are enduring, persevering, and walking through this open door, preaching the word, getting that message out. You know, the United Church of God has Beyond Today, and they have booklets that go out. They're on the internet. There's so many ways that they're preaching the gospel message. Now in verse 10, continue on, he says, "I will keep you from the hour of trial." Now that's an encouraging thing. Christ says there, "I'll keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world." Why is that going to happen? He says, to test those who dwell on the earth. He's going to see who's playing church. He's going to know where your heart is. And that's coming. And yet, it's still yet to come. But the time of great tribulation lies ahead. It's going to test every nation and every person on the face of the whole earth. Verse 11, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one takes your crown." So what we find here is that it's encouraging that God makes it very clear, right to the very time of the end, great tribulation on the earth, there will be God's people persevering and enduring and doing the work until God cuts it off where we can't do anymore, that two witnesses are going to begin to do it. So that'll be by God's direct power. You know, and they'll be protected. We'll be protected. I believe that, you know, there's all kinds of beliefs. Some people don't believe that God's church is going to be protected. There's some that don't really say that doesn't mean that. I believe it does. Because here it does say, these people, that I will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. That's pretty positive. He says he'll keep you from that. Now let's look at Revelation 12. Revelation chapter 12. Remember, here we're talking about positive prophecies about God's people and the power of God being poured out upon his people to do this work. Revelation 12 and verse 12. "Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath." There's a time coming when he's going to be cast down. I don't know when that happens, if it has happened yet, and we just don't see him. But he says he's going to have great wrath. "The devil comes down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Now when the dragon saw that he is cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman," here, and that's speaking of the church, but "the woman was given two great wings, the wings of two wings of a great eagle." So whether that means, I don't know what that means prophetically. "And anyways, she could fly into the wilderness to her place. Maybe we'll be taken to a place with airplanes. I don't know. Symbolically, I don't know. Doesn't tell us, but that's a possibility. "That she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and a half time from the presence of the serpent." That's 3.5 years. A time is a year, another time's a year, or times is 2 years, and a half time. So what's that say to you? I mean, doesn't that say you're going to be protected That's what it says to me. There are those that are going to be protected and spared to take care, and he's going to nourish his people for a period of 3.5 years. I think about when the children of Israel were in the wilderness. God cared for them for 40 years. You know, if you're in the wilderness, there's not too many gooseberries and raspberries and food growing on the bushes. So God, it says he's going to nourish the church there for 3.5 years. Now, verse 15, so the serpent spewed water out of his mouth. And we know the serpent is the devil. He spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, so that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. In the chapter 17, you needn't turn there in Revelation, though, but it's talking about flood as armies. It's going to be armies that are pursuing God's church. Now let's continue on here in verse 16. It says, but the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. So these are very positive prophecies. You see, God's fighting for us. He's intervening for us. In the Bible, is there any place of protection or a place of safety that it talks about? Well, I see that these scriptures here saying that that's what it is talking about. It's very encouraging to me. You know, I've talked to some that don't believe that, but that they'll just have to suffer through whatever happens. But it goes on to make it very clear that there will be a remnant left behind. Not everybody is going to be able to be taken to that. And that's very important to think about. You know, they're going to have to experience the rage and hatred of persecution of Satan, the devil, and some of God's people do. Some of them do. There's also a blessing of protection upon God's people who have endured, who have persevered, who have put their hearts into work and walked through that door to preach this gospel message, who've remained faithful and obedient to God, and that's a very positive thing too. I think that, you know, we should remind, I think I need to remind you as well as myself of what Christ said in Luke 21:36. He said, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. You know, not everybody apparently is going to be watching, but he says watch and pray that you're going to be accounted worthy. Well, if you're obeying God and keeping his commandments and following after his ways, you will be accounted worthy. But if you're lackadaisical, you don't really take it serious, you just kind of go with the flow and say, well, they've been saying that this is going to happen for centuries. Everything continues just like it always was. You know, that kind of attitude will get you right in the tribulation. Now, he wouldn't have said this if some people weren't going to be protected. Christ said that. It's a positive prophecy. And we need to have these things in mind as you serve God and obey, that there is that promise of protection. Promise of protection. I think these are very encouraging prophecies. As you see the world getting worse, and you're going to be empowered by God. Those who are wise and understand will be strong. They'll know their God. They'll recommit their lives. Get awake. You know, it's easy to be lulled to sleep when everything is fine. Plenty of food in the grocery stores, and each month you have money to buy things. You know, we need to make sure that our anchor is in God. We need to become stronger and stronger as we see things happening in the world. Now let's turn to Matthew 24. Excuse me, Matthew 24. I've been having trouble for about a week and better now with... I keep getting phlegm in my lungs and don't want pneumonia. So I'm hoping I'm getting better. I think I actually am. Matthew 24. We don't need to have worldly fear. We don't need that. We're not afraid of dying, not if our trust is in God. You know, we don't want to suffer. I don't want to suffer. We don't want to be tortured. But if we begin reading here in verse 22 of Matthew, that's what Jesus said. Unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. Now, I could add saved alive, because that's what's inferred here. Mankind would be destroyed. They'll destroy all life on earth if God didn't come back and intercede. He said that's going to be a time, there's never been a time like it. That's going to be that horrendous. That's positive to me. But he says, for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. That's you and I, brethren, if we're hold faithful and we're following God. That's very positive, I think. There are people that God considers elect on his earth at the end time. These elect are on the earth today, I think. The elect of God, and for their sake, those days will be shortened. Thank God for the elect. That's all you could say. Thank God for the elect. What part of that, brethren, that, you know, God's people. You know, let's read a little bit above that in verses 12 through 14. He says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. As you see the world becoming more and more lawless and barbaric, there might come a time when we'll say, you either denounce Christ or I'll take your head off. You know, the love of many are going to grow cold because of the things that begin to happen. But those who know God and have love for God, you know, they're going to be stronger. They're going to renew that commitment and get closer to God. This verse 13, he says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Whenever that message gets out and God the Father tells Christ, it's time, you know, it's done. It's time for you to come back to the earth. Now, chapter 25, a positive prophecy here about Christians in the end time. And he says, hey, this is about five foolish virgins and five wise. Well, I don't want to talk about the foolish ones. I want to talk about what it says about the wise ones. I think that's important for us. In Matthew 25, verse 1. Matthew 25, verse 1, it says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps, representing the Bible and the Word of God, a lamp unto our feet. That's what God's Word is. And he says, they went out to meet the bridegroom. And we know that's Christ. Five of them were wise. And that's the part I'd like to talk about here. Five were wise. This is a parable. But Christ uses parable to teach us. You know, all through the scriptures he did. Verse 3, those who were foolish took lamps, their lamps, and took no oil with them. Now, let the Holy Spirit run down within them. They just weren't close to God. They weren't, you know, they maybe weren't fervent in prayer. They just let up on Bible study and fasting occasionally, and you know, that this wasn't as important to them, because they may have gotten caught up in the world, things that are going on around them, and just let it slide, became lukewarm. But the notice here, the wise, here's what he says in the church, they took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now it does say that while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. So everybody, at one time they were sleeping. But at midnight a cry was heard, and the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Verse 7, all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, So it's the part here I'm emphasizing about is at the end time there are wise virgins who keep oil in their lamps. You know what? The big lesson here is that when you finally come down to it, if you've not stayed close to God and developed a personal spiritual life with Him, and contact with Him, and renewed it in faith, you can't get that oil from someone else. Jesus did say in verse 9 that the wise answered, saying, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. So we must go to God. You know, God is the person we have to go to. You know, there are wise Christians who walk with God, who don't give up on prayer and Bible study and constantly work on their spiritual lives. You know, because they know that contact with God is where that energy comes from. You know, you have to have that zeal and that spirit. They're on fire for God. They want to do what pleases God. Now, verse 10, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And here's this positive part here I'd like to talk about. Those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. The door was shut on those who weren't ready. So it's telling us we need to be ready. So the wise will keep oil in their lamp. Many of the people of God, they'll stay close to God. That's very encouraging, I think. Now that we're here, let's pick up the story here in Matthew 25 and verse 19 through 23. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So here's Christ returning, and we'll give accounts directly to Him for how we have used what He's given us. So He's given everybody gifts. We all have gifts and talents and abilities. And that's when you have to give an account to Him. In verse 20 and 21, So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents. He said, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, you good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You know, many times you can emphasize the fact that maybe we're not growing, you know, or there might be a person who's buried his talent or just afraid and didn't grow. And that's in here, that example, to be positive part of this prophecy. This parable is about Christ returning and giving account to Christ. Everyone has to give an account to Christ. What have you done with what I've given you? Every single one of the in the church, every one of us has gifts and talents to contribute to the body of the church. We all do. Some might say, well, you know, I don't think I have. You know, you might say that. Well, maybe you've known people who've been mistreated. You know, or maybe when they're growing up, or may have a very low self-esteem. You know, the events and things that happen may have damaged them emotionally in other ways. That does happen. That should not be an excuse. We go to God and ask Him for help to overcome whatever it is. So we need to be very, very close to God, praying and supporting His work, not only through prayers, but financially. It means more than that. It's using God's ability to serve in the church in whatever way you are able to. You know, there's always that opportunity if you're willing to look for it. In verse 23, Christ said, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, the very last scripture I'd like to go to is 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. And verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day, you know, the day of the Lord, talking about the end time, that this day should overtake you as a thief. or catch you unaware or off guard. Not watching. If you're not watching, it could. It'll be like a thief. You know, he said if the good man of the house had known when the thief was coming, he'd have watched. So he's telling us, you know, you don't want that day to overtake you. We're not in darkness. Verse 5, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We're not of the night or of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. Now in verse 8 and 9 here, he says, but let us who are of the day be sober. Put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we're called to salvation for eternal life. That's why we're called. So conclude, brethren, many positive scriptures are in the Bible about God's people at these end times. And we know there's bad things going to happen to people. Some in the church members who've allowed themselves to become lukewarm. They know the truth that they just can't get on fire. They can't really get excited about the kingdom that's coming. They've been lulled to sleep. We want to encourage brethren. We should encourage each other. You know, that these are positive prophecies in the end time. We ought to be strong in faith and desire to be a part of the fulfilling of that word that's happening. God will use you in any way that He can if you're willing. He will. He'll use you. So we need to be faithful and let Him pour out His Spirit on us and get us excited about the end time. Not discouraged, not realizing, well, you know, woe is me, the trials, terrible things are going to happen, but we need to look at the positive scriptures that He's given us here. And He says, if God is for us, who can be against us? So I think we need to take that to heart.